Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Up on TSN 4, Brian Hazy, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We've got our boy James Duffy coming up here in a few moments. JD will join us. Get his take on Michael Block and kind of the whole journey coming to a halt down at the Colonial. But comes back up, you know, on two wheels at the Canadian Open in a week and a half. Right, so
it's our fault.
You guys called it.
No, it's just we just love doing that. It's like some guy just pops on the scene, and we love turning the guy. This guy was 11 over par yesterday, and they were showing every one of his shots. Well, so it's like you build this thing up with expectations that were so unreasonable. And I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again today. Can you imagine some guy that just needed to get an exemption that's dialed in and playing well? I don't know if it's the Corn Fairy or someone just outside of, you know, the cut line for being exempt into the tournament, watching that, saying, this guy finished 15 over par.
Yeah, it's really like dead last, 15 over par. I felt for him yesterday because you could tell he was really embarrassed.
Yes.
He rolled the sod over a wet, like it was a chili chunk Tam O'Shanter, like he dropped his club and walked away because he knows the whole world's watching him. Everyone's right, like, hey, Block. But they gave him a prime time tee off yesterday. He was off.
And the cameras did not leave him.
Watching him, you know, chunk it out of the bunker, chunking wedges, hitting it off a bridge, sculling shots. Like, it was legitimately an awful round of golf.
Let's call it what it is. Let's call it jean short golf.
It wasn't good.
Oh, who's your favorite analyst, the guy that just shoots from the hip? I don't think he's
Johnny Miller.
Yeah.
What would Johnny Miller
say about that? If he had to break it down the whole time, like, would he just be destroying him?
I'm not kidding you, Jamie. Johnny Miller would have said, the cameraman better stop showing this guy because I'm not commenting on it anymore. This is ridiculous. Hayes, would he not have said that?
He would be very blunt about how it was really tough to watch.
It was. I
felt bad for the guy. And you know, he's not that bad, and he's not as good as he was at the PGA. He's somewhere in between. He's a very good player. Very, very good player. But I do think there's an overdrive curse here a little bit because we've had all the Canadian golfers on our show, and we love them all, big fans. We want to see them do well. Whenever they do well, they get an invite from us, and generally they're very, very cordial and willing to come on. The two other guys, we've had a number of golfers on over the years. We have. But two guys we've had that we've really liked.
Harry Higgs is the other guy.
Michael Block and Harry Higgs. And Harry was 12 over par, second last for the tournament. So Harry and the Block party, not exactly in sync down at Colonial.
I hope we didn't put Dillette into retirement either.
No, like, I don't believe so.
That's
possibly
good.
But maybe we did. Who knows? He was on the show a bunch when he was still playing.
Exactly.
So, anyway, JD's coming up here in a moment. Josh Cloak later in the hour. Jay's back in action again. Danny Jansen on the IL. So they've been relatively healthy. You know, they've been a healthy club, and yet now they're running into something here. And players-only meeting yesterday. What can we expect tonight based on a players-only meeting? Is there anything tangible you're actually going to see on the field because they closed the doors for 10 minutes?
Well, you would think that it's usually the last-ditch effort. So if some truths are told and some guys are being called out, do you want to be the one guy that goes out there and dogs it on the way to first base or something to that effect? It's like, do you want to come back to the dugout or the locker room or wherever and someone say, did you not remember what we just talked about last night? So you would think they'd be getting after it early and often and be the aggressors. And it's like a new coach bump almost where it's like you want to try to impress and be like, I'm the one that really cares here. I'm not going to be singled out as a guy that continues this nonsense.
Right.
So we'll see what they got.
I think a lot of times those meetings, if anything, it's just kind of a reset. Guys, you know, they voice their opinions, and it's not like finger-pointing, but it's voicing your opinion. Like, we need to be this. We need to be that. This is what I'm seeing. And, if you know you're not playing to your best, like it's almost like you take a step back and go, I need to dig in. I guaranteed a lot of those guys went to bed last night thinking about today's game.
Going, and every great player I played with, here. Jamie, they would always start it with, I got to be better. And then it would call somebody out that needed a little something, something, and say, but so do you, and so do you, and so do you, little Jim Duthie. You need to be better, too.
Does that happen at times with the panel, a little closed-door panel meeting?
I've never said that to him.
Yeah,
that'd be tough. Don't say anything
anymore. He's a rock star. He's the best. Although I have one question for him, because you guys painted a picture yesterday of Kevin Costner coming out of the Winnebago with that hat on and the ball swinging around and all these contraptions.
In
you
the
said
cart,
that's James Duthie.
Yeah, in the cart, he's looking at his watch, his little thing, and he's like, my drive was 242, and then he goes 237, 238, 239, 240, 241. It should be right here. And then he's just, he's thinking and he's talking out loud.
It's like
let him defend himself.
It is.
All right. Well, here he is joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. A man that thinks. He's a thinking golfer, James Duthie.
Yes.
Is that an accurate description, JD?
I think I want. Who's gotten disparaged more over the last like me or Michael Block?
What's your take?
Michael Block in a lot of ways. If I can hit it like Rory. You know, putt like, I was going to say Spieth, but he can't putt anymore. Hit my irons like Scheffler and putt like O-Dog. I'd be an elite player, one of the best in the world.
Jimmy, yes, do you think the Rory comment really kind of set himself up for a disaster?
I really can't figure that one out. Have you guys talked about this so your listeners will know what we're talking about?
A little bit, yeah. Michael Block went on a podcast and said if he had Rory's length, he'd be one of the best players in the world.
In the world.
Length off the tee.
I can't. First of all, a little sympathy for the guy just in the sense that, you know, he's gone from nowhere, you know, a good club pro, played some tournaments, to being on every podcast and every radio show or whatever. And over the last few days. So it has been a whirlwind, and the guy's probably mentally exhausted because he broke down in his news conference today, I think, after the round or yesterday, which was also kind of a little bit weird because I don't think he shot 81, I think, which is what a lot of people expected him to shoot, and then he's crying in his post-game news conference, his post-round news conference. But so I give him a little bit of sympathy because, you know, maybe he's just tired. But I think it undid a lot of the great stuff. Not completely. Who cares? Because I think last week was fantastic. And I thought he handled himself so perfectly last week. Everything was so humble. You know, he seemed to be completely agreeing that this was ludicrous what was happening. And so that comment was kind of, it kind of set him back a little bit. But I think that won't be remembered, right? When they do some crappy movie in a couple of years, I don't think that part will be remembered. I think that it was still a pretty cool what happened at the PGA because, I mean, that course is ludicrous. So for him to do what he did there, I was listening to another podcast today with Joel Damon, and I don't know if you watch the Full Swing thing on Netflix, but Joel Damon has a caddy named Gino. They're best buddies forever. And Gino is a complete scratch, a 0.0. And, you know, we've all wondered in what guys would shoot on that course or that type of difficult major championship setup. You know, what would a 10 handicap shoot? Well, Gino's a scratch, and he played it on the Monday with the Sunday pins from the same tees and everything and shot 86 and said he hit it great. And he's a 0.0. So I don't think you can overstate how hard that setup was. And for a pro who doesn't play major championship golf very often to do what he did, I think that's still pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's incredible. The movie will end on his up and down on 18. That's it. It'll end right there, possibly with him getting calls from people saying, you're doing this, you're doing that, and then there'll be a little script at the end. He pukes.
But how does this end? How does this end? Does he pull the plug himself, guys, and say, okay, this clearly is not meant for me, or is that the Canadian Open sponsors exemption? But then is that where it ends?
He's coming up.
Oh, I know, but then after that, does everyone else say not happening?
I think he's back in the PGA Championship next year, so who knows? But I think it's a 15 minutes of fame that probably ends around the Canadian Open. Maybe somewhere along the way he gets one more exemption later in the year. But I think it's your true American dream story of 15 minutes of fame and come. You know, 2 months from now, there's nobody talking about Michael Block.
Yeah, I want to will it. This guy. I want to will him into qualifying at the RBC. I want this guy on our show. I don't want it to end for him. I know, Hayes, you're like and down. And there's a I could see it where, you know, it goes dark on the screen in the movie and it goes, Michael Block missed the cut here, Michael Block. And now resides in wherever, you know, has gone back to being Tin Cup. Basically.
But don't you think that if he, you know, whatever he shot this week, 15 over, and if he comes to the Canadian Open and he shoots 15 over, and, you know, his last place or second last or whatever it may be, I kind of almost think it makes the PGA story even better. Because he just, for 1 week, you know, everything went his way. And I think that almost makes the story even better, because that's what we all... God knows that's what I just hope for every time I play in a tournament.
Well, I'm playing in the Pro-Am. He may be my pro. There's a and if so,
awesome.
Well, we'll see what comes of it. Maybe
you might beat him.
Hey,
listen, if I go one under again, I probably will. Let me say it right now. There's a chance. If I shoot one under, there's a chance. I don't want to get crazy. I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Like, that would be the sequel to the story. You know, Michael Block is the Cinderella, and then he becomes the hero, and then you know.
Yeah. Oh, it's all there. It's all there in front of us. But hopefully,
Michael Block is Rocky, and you're Apollo Creed. You come knock him out.
When it comes to the Pro-Am, yeah, more or less. Drago, you can call me whatever you want. But generally, I bring my A stuff to the Pro-Am. So we'll see in a couple of weeks. But anyway, JD, we've got something cooking in the NHL. Don't we? I mean, this was being on the verge of being the most probably forgettable conference final in Stanley Cup history if Vegas wins last night. Like, two sweeps on both sides. Still feels like Vegas is going to roll here. What do you make of it, Dallas, you know, keeping things alive? And Joe Pavelski, which is a great story, being the one that scores a goal last night.
Yeah, you know, frankly, selfishly, I'm at the point where I just wanted it over so the Stanley Cup final would start as quickly as possible and end as quickly as possible.
Right.
And that's a horrible thing to say about the way I feel about the remaining teams, because they're all great stories. And, you know, there's going to be a great story that wins the Stanley Cup, but that's just the reality, I think, of Canadian hockey fans in this market, whatever, is it's just... You know, I'll be frank. I didn't watch the OT last night. I had to get up early, and so I was hoping for a goal in the last minute. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'll watch in the morning and check out what happened. Which I'm not proud of that, but I can't get into it. I hope when it gets to the final, I hope we get a six or even, despite what I said about wanting it over, I hope we get a 6 or 7 game final, because, you know, that would be intriguing. If it's some 4 or 5 game final, no matter who wins, I think this will be one of the more forgettable playoffs, you know, after the opening round or two in recent memory. But you're right, Pavelski is just a fantastic story, and I have to give some credit to Dallas, because when your captain does something as stupid as what he did in game 3 and you go down like that, and then your captain suspended and you're at down 3-0, be pretty easy to show up last late, lose 5-2, and see you later for the summer. So that was a pretty game effort. And Robertson in particular, when you see something like that, you know, we always talk about, I think we've talked endlessly about the Leafs figuring out the playoffs or not, you know, certain guys after a few years finally figuring it out or whatever. That guy had, you know, was not having a great playoffs, was better this round, but last night was like 10 shots and 16 shot attempts through 2 periods. If he suddenly figured it out and can start to be a factor, maybe they'll get back in it. But I'm with you, Hayes. I think Vegas probably ends this back at home, and then we have a final that is two pretty good places for the people that are traveling to cover it. But besides that, I'm not sure what to expect from it.
Yeah, isn't that what we've all been? And again, admittedly, you know, I'm watching the games and I'm enjoying them, but we're dying for storylines. And obviously, not just Canadian content, it's what is the storylines? I think, you know, the easy ones are Bobrovsky because he was wearing a ball cap to start the playoffs. So Matthew Tkachuk has had a dream season on a new team. But outside of that, yeah, Pavelski's a good story. Like, usually it seems like there's so many storylines, and I think maybe we got spoiled in that first round or maybe the first two rounds where it was like, hey, Boston's out and Colorado's out, Seattle. Like, there was just so many storylines, and now they're kind of dwindling, and you're kind of reaching for stuff, and especially if it's not local content.
The other one I would add would be Eichel, just in the sense of a guy playing, you know, so long and not getting probably the best player to not get a sniff of the playoffs. In the NHL, I can't even think of another guy who's, you know, been around that long who had never got a sniff of it. And to come in and you know, sort of take advantage of your first run this way, like if he's hoisting the Stanley Cup, that would be something, I think. And he's almost a guy that I don't want to say you forgot because that's stupid. I mean, he had a good year and he's a big name, but I mean, how many times did you talk about Jack Eichel this year on your radio program and you're on 15 hours a week? Probably not a ton, right?
No,
because he goes to that market and, you know, he had the injuries and you kind of sort of forgot about him. I don't remember saying his name barely on our shows all season long, and then here he is and you remember that he made a move last night he didn't score on that was just ridiculous at full speed.
Yeah.
On a one-on-one sort of situation, and so I think that's another one that would be interesting, Noodles. But you're right, it's just we're kind of pulling teeth in a situation like that. I will say this. I used to, you know, selfishly, the panel would always, when people asked for who we cheered for, we cheered for the teams that would make the most fun Stanley Cup final for us. Just the most selfish thing you could possibly do. And
true.
So Vegas, when they came into the league, was always near the top of the list. Nashville was always up there. We had that one LA-New York final, which was pretty spectacular. And Vegas-Florida, you know, that's, if you're doing all the combinations in the league, that's not bad. I mean, Sunrise isn't the best, but Noodles, you know, you live there, like, it's pretty good, the beachy area there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Vegas-Florida final, like I said, I think the panel's going to hang out in Toronto and do it from studio because we're professionals. We don't want to take part in any shenanigans. But that's a pretty darn good location final.
James, I don't think we've talked to you since all the goings-on. You mentioned Toronto. What do you make of everything that's gone on here with Dubas leaving and everything else? Excuse me.
I don't know that I have a fresh take that you haven't heard several dozen times, guys. I would just say I'm still quite astounded that of the way it went down, considering there's two guys that I respect a lot in Shanahan and Dubas, and I think are two really, really smart guys. And I cannot figure out that in those 2-3 days that one guy decided to email the guy that he'd worked side by side with for 9 years to say, instead of picking up the phone to say, I want to be back and let's work it out. And then the other guy just decided to fire the guy instead of maybe calling him after he got that thing from the agent and saying, hey, you know, I got this thing from your agent. This isn't going to work, but let's try to make it work. I can't understand how there weren't more conversations in that little 24-hour period. If Kyle truly wanted to be back and Shanahan, you know, up until those 24 hours or 48 hours or whatever, wanted them back, I can't figure out how that didn't happen. And that's the part that will confuse me. You know, we still have only heard half the story, but that's the part will confuse me for a long time is how it, that I'm endlessly confused by how it went down that way.
Yeah, no, that's valid. And, you know, there's so many different theories as to why it happened. And, you know, it could be that Dubas didn't really want to be here and maybe thought there's another job out there that he'd rather have, so why not send in a bully offer, maybe? And there's a chance the owners said, you know what, we're going to move on, but Shanahan, you got to go out and fall on the sword. And it's got to be, you got to publicly say it's your fault.
There has to be more of an explanation because the other thing doesn't make sense.
Right. Exactly.
The other thing is a breakup with your girlfriend in grade 8 when neither one of you knows how to communicate.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly kind of the way it played out. Emails.
Did anyone ever dump you in grade 8, Jimmy?
Allison White broke up with me. It was
traumatic.
It was hard, and I don't really want to talk about it on the thing.
Uh-oh.
What did she say to you? Did she write you a note?
I'm going to tell you a story that I told in my podcast that will humiliate me, but this is what I do on the radio program. I went to a part, like, I started dating Allison White, but I think I was in grade 7, and I was afraid to kiss her. I think I kissed her, you know, a few times. Grade 7, okay? This is like 1970s. Yeah. Zero experience with anything. So we went to, like a spin-the-bottle party. I wore my white turtleneck and white jeans because that was my look back then.
Fire.
We
Buddy,
did this
that's
thing.
Repellent
was like,
for
there,
Allison.
There was like a version of spin-the-bottle that was like called like 3 minutes in heaven or something when you went into the closet with the girl or the furnace room or the basement of the house.
Right.
You know, to do a little make-out session. And I was so dumb and so naive that I thought necking, my determination of what necking was that you kiss the girl's neck. So I just we went in the back room and she's all ready and I just started attacking her neck with my lips. And the next day it was over.
Wow. Dude, that's not good, man.
That is some amateurishly garbage right there.
Yeah, the gear alone set me off.
That set me back several years. I didn't date again until my early 20s.
I guarantee you, though, when you got the key to Ottawa, you tagged her on Facebook.
Actually, in recollection, it might have been Cheryl Hamill. I can't remember which.
You might want to get the handle right, Joe, if you're going to tag someone on Facebook. Exactly.
Either way, I was an embarrassment. And I had big ears back then. Like, my ears were like grew faster than the rest of my head, and they really felt like they stuck out on my little grade 7 head. So I just grew my hair really long, like, you know, late 70s hair, and then I pushed it forward so in front of my... So I kind of had a Princess Leia type look. It was really weird.
That's not a look.
Not that I am as a man now, but
save
it's
some chicks for the rest of us. Holy crap!
White on white turtleneck with a Princess Leia vibe.
If I gotta send you my yearbook photo to show you what I did with my hair, and it's the greatest thing ever.
What movie is it? Is it Something About Mary? Where he's like,
yes.
That's what I'm envisioning.
Yes.
It's just something about Mary kind of scene.
Really, it's really bad.
Well, I'm glad you grew out of that stage, JD. And now look at you. You're the king of the county.
I figure you guys humiliate me when I'm not on the program all the time, so I might as well just humiliate myself while
I'm on. That's why you're a legend. That's why we love having you on, buddy.
You did a good job.
Have a great weekend. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, boys.
Take care.
James Duffy joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com.
What a loser move in the furnace room. Like, does he not have any game at all?
I know. Dracula just attacking the neck.
This poor girl.
Like, he just
with
can't
his
go there.
White turtleneck and white jeans.
Ooh. Yeah.
And probably a tight tuck with a white belt.
And a Princess Leia vibe. That's not good.
His hair over top of his ears. I know
That's not masculine.
I know how tough it can be to try and put hair over your ears, especially the size of mine. It's not a good thing.
It's not easy. Overdrive brought to you by FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score. Also not a good thing right now is what's up with Toronto FC. It sounds as if, and it's being reported as if, we're talking about an absolute disaster, an unmitigated disaster, and possibly a mutiny. And I don't know if Bob Bradley can survive. We'll see. But the team is last in the East. They haven't been in the playoffs in a couple of years. It's not a good scene. Josh Cloak from The Athletic has been all over this reporting. What is going on with TFC and how ugly could it continue to get? Is this rock bottom? We'll find out. We'll catch up with Josh, and we'll do that next. Mail It In Friday is brought to you by Boston Pizza. Weekends are better with fish bowls and frosty pints on the BP patio. Grab your sunscreen and let's have a weekend. See you on the BP patio. This is the definition of Boston Pizza patio weather.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Tonight, you got a ball game down in Minnesota. Tomorrow, Toronto FC's playing. People are wondering what's going on with them. Obviously, you're going to continue to have Celtics trying to stay alive over the weekend. The Stars looking to stay alive. You got a golf tournament. You got Canada, you know, in the semis at the Worlds.
Do people go to the soccer and watch for, like, not hate watching, but curious watching because of the gong show haze?
Yeah, well, sure. You've seen how fans have been reacting. Like, some idiot threw a megaphone at a player a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, the diehard Toronto FC fans are committed. It is a lifestyle. You know, they get down into Liberty Village. They take over. They march down to the stadium. And, listen, it was so ugly the first 7-8 years of their existence. Remember how awful it was? They never made the playoffs. They went through manager after manager after manager. And then finally it clicked. Lywicki got here, and they started spending like crazy. They brought in the right people. Greg Vanney came in, and they started winning. And they won a lot. And they went to MLS Cup, you know, a few different times, and they won an MLS Cup. And since then, it's really been a mess. Since Vanney left, and now they missed the playoffs a couple of years, and been coaching turnovers, player turnovers. It's not
good. It's a total gong show,
it's
man.
It's not good.
It's you really know,
and,
a problem.
And the, you know, the father being the coach, like, it's tough.
They knew
it's
what they were getting.
Sell, right?
Right? Yeah, but Bob Bradley, like, Bradley's been around forever. He's one of the winningest coaches in MLS history. He's won it all. He did it in L.A. for a long time. He's been a part of the national program.
Right.
So it's not like they just hired the guy's dad out of the stands. I mean, he was qualified to take the job, but you knew this was going to be an issue. You can't have that with with any job. Like, if there's a group of people and the boss has their kid in that group, if it's soccer, if it's business, if you're at a school, you know, the principal's the dad and one of the teachers is the kid. The other teachers aren't going to be comfortable around that guy.
No, it's not.
Dude, you know how many times you get on the back of the bus, you have a beer, you go to dinner, you throw your little shots in, whatever that may be. And when the guy's son is there, it's a weird vibe, man.
Yeah, you can't do it. Out of respect to him, too. Right? Like, it doesn't mean you hate the coach or anything, but you might be having a bad day and say, that was so stupid what that guy just did, or I hate the fact that he's making us practice today.
Or I just hate that guy's face. I hate his guts.
Yes. Yeah. For right now, I really don't like that guy's guts, you know, and everything he represents.
Yeah.
So Josh Kloc will join us here in a moment from The Athletic. Get his take on this reporting that, you know, Bernardeschi is going to be out of the lineup tomorrow. He's not playing. After last week, he publicly really called out Bradley, called out the tactics of the team. He and Insigne have really, you know, they've been fine, but they haven't been performing at a great level, and the team's a mess. And the two of them are getting paid a fortune. And the reports in The Athletic indicate the two of them don't like each other. So you got two internationals from Italy, and they don't like each other.
Jeez.
That's a concern.
It's not good.
Right? That's not good. So here he is from The Athletic, Josh Kloc. Remarkable reporting here, Josh. We all read the piece up in The Athletic. I urge people to check it out. And it's getting a lot of play on what's going on here. Describe, you know, behind closed doors here what you're hearing. Is it as bad as it reads in the reporting in terms of what's happening with the players and the coach and the whole culture around TFC?
Might be worse. Right, and I know that sounds kind of dramatic, but, like, you know, and this is a little bit of how the sausage is made, but anytime you do these kind of stories and you talk to multiple people, and, like, I should say, too, this isn't, like, a deep, deep secret. Like, these issues with TFC, people have been talking about this for months, maybe years now, and we tried to kind of outline why this is not kind of a new problem. And sometimes there's things you hear, there's rumors you hear that you can't really lock down, so we didn't really necessarily want to put it in the piece. But, yeah, I mean, if some of these rumors are true and to be believed, then, TFC have some real, real problems on their hands. Because I think what they tried to do here, and I know you guys are kind of talking about this, but, like, they just tried to make this such a quick fix, didn't they? Right? Like, let's get two big guys and let's just hope that solves all our problems. But when it comes to team building, that's never the play, right?
What's up with the vaping? Is this guy just wheeling around vaping everywhere? I mean, I don't get it. Is he just vaping in people's faces? Is he trying to piss people off? And is him being scratched Bradley's last kind of straw, saying, I'm going down, but you're going to pay the price a little bit too?
Yeah, I think both of those things are probably true. The vaping one, I'm laughing because,
so am I.
I'm trying to imagine, a professional athlete on a chartered flight just having a rip, having a vape. I don't care, how kind of bad things got on any team. Nobody hacks a dart on a plane, right? There's levels, right? And I think what that speaks to, without getting too serious, but I think what it speaks to is you have two players who came in on exorbitant salaries. And then sometimes I think what happens there is these players maybe don't necessarily feel they have to buy into every single rule that exists, within the team, within the league. That's disappointing if you're TFC. And I think that kind of speaks to the problems we're seeing now, where you have a player calling out a head coach very, very publicly, and then the player is suspended for a game. But I think that's only the tip of the iceberg, as our story kind of laid out. So I think that's a big problem that TFC will certainly need to address moving forward is, how do you sign guys, which TFC want to do? How do you sign big guys, but then make sure that they understand kind of what they're getting into and how do they buy into the bigger project, right?
Absolutely. My concern is, where do they go from here? What is step one to try and fix some of the dysfunction that you've laid out in the piece and laid out here in front of us? Is it firing the coach? Is it, changing players? Where does the blame lay, but where do they even start to try and fix this?
Well, first of all, the blame lies everywhere. And I hope that's something we kind of spelled out is, there's not just, one magic thing that needs to change and then TFC are back in MLS Cup. You have the biggest salary in the league and they're a last place team in the Eastern Conference. And they missed the playoffs last year, right? This is not kind of, again, a new phenomenon. I mean, you guys know, you want to spell it out. When you have very, very highly paid players, and those players are the people that fans come to see, and those players are at odds with the coach, which person is probably going to stay or which people are probably going to stay till the end of the season, right? Yeah. I think there is a grave, grave sense of urgency around Bob Bradley's job. And this is the interesting thing, too, about MLS. It's such a short season, 34 games. And yes, they're in last place, but, they can rattle off 3-4 wins in a row, and they're back in the playoffs, which is it's a strange league in that way. But, if Insigne and Bernadeschi do what they were signed to do, which is contribute in a big way, again, let's just take a step back. I remember when they signed Insigne. I don't really know if there's a comparable in hockey or baseball or whatever. I guess a comparable would be, that someone in this, a team in the Swiss League signs Austin Matthews now. Mm-hmm. It's just an incredible signing for the team. And people were telling me, this guy should score 25 goals in a 34-game season. He should be the best player in league history easily. But he hasn't done what he's been paid to do. But again, all of that said, if they rattle off 3-4 wins in a row, then, they're in the playoffs. But again, I think as the piece kind of spelled out, that's going to be a tall ask considering the dysfunction that's happening behind the scenes. But yeah, in terms of what happens next, I think Bob Bradley has to go on a real, real winning streak right now. And anything short of that, I think we know what kind of change is probably coming.
Yeah, we're chatting with Josh Cloak of The Athletic, and Toronto FC back in action tomorrow down at BMO, DC United in town. And Bernardeschi will be out of the lineup because of public comments a week ago about Bob Bradley and the team, and then behind closed doors meetings. And been a lot of altercations here. And I think where MLSC and Bill Manning at the top of TFC is in trouble here is that Bob Bradley, it just hasn't worked since he's been here. So you have Bob Bradley and Michael Bradley. Michael Bradley, I would argue, the greatest, you know, player in team history, the most success, longest standing, full commitment, captain of the team, well-loved, you know, by fans and by the city, and has embraced the city of what it means to be a member of Toronto FC. And then on the other side of it, they've committed to these two players, as we've mentioned, in Insigne and Bernardeschi, who have come in and look like their attitudes are, we're here for the money, this is Mickey Mouse, you know, the coach is an American, his son's on the team, and this, what are we doing here? Like, that's kind of the read. So I'm not sure how you win either way, Josh, because I think you got players here who don't look as if they're fully committed, and then you look at a coach who clearly has lost the plot here. It's like, okay, you might pick the players over Bradley, and that probably is what will end up happening, but that doesn't mean the players with a new coach are all of a sudden going to be fully committed. You know, it doesn't feel likely.
No, I agree with you. And here's, you know, one of the problems, and this is, you know, you talk to people around TFC, you talk to people around the league about this happening. Like, this was all a relationship that really seemed doomed to fail. And I say that because, you know, when Bill Manning hired Bob Bradley, he was very clear that Bob Bradley was the only coach he really wanted. Like, in what world is that the right way to approach team building? Like, let's, you know, it's because it's always about the Leafs. Like, let's find a comparable here. If Brendan Shanahan said, you know, it's Brad Tree living or bust, like, you're kind of wondering, you're saying, well, don't you want to hear other opinions on what you would do with the core, for example? Like, don't you want to solicit outside voices and get, you know, all kinds of people to weigh in on how they would take this team forward? And so when you do that, you really back yourself into a corner. And, you know, it's worth remembering here that the TFC had approached and were very close on Insigne before they even hired Bob Bradley. So now you're kind of bringing in a coach who, you know, in my understanding, and we'd laid this out in the story, you're bringing in a head coach and you're saying, can you make this work? We have the highest paid player in league history. We don't know if he's necessarily going to fit in your style of football, which is a very specific style of football. Can you make this work? So you're kind of building the puzzle without all the pieces. And I think, again, that's why TFC kind of find themselves where they are, and that's why they've been at the bottom of the table for 2 years now.
Yeah. Well, and I've said this a couple times today, Josh, it feels like when Greg Vanney left, like, that's what you could point to. Like, when
Not just Greg. I think it deserves, you know, mentioning, like, there were multiple people who were architects of that 2017 team that most, you know, people in the league consider still the best team in league history, right? You had Tim Bezbachenko, you know, who was, again, we're making comparisons here, but was kind of like a Kyle Dubas type, right? You had Corey Ray, who was a Brandon Pridham type. You had these very, very sharp people who also understood their roles. And I think where it gets murky with TFC now is when you have Bob Bradley, and I don't know if we've mentioned this, like, he's the coach, but he's the sporting director. He's also the GM.
Right.
Like, it's a lot of responsibility for anyone, too much probably. And, you know, again, this is a problem. And I think that's worth mentioning. It's not just Greg. Greg was a tremendous coach. You know, his record in Toronto speaks for itself. But there were other people around Greg Vanney who really built out this club. And I think what's happened, and I honestly don't know if it made it into the story, but, you know, one word that I heard a few times when people were describing TFC to me right now is insular. Like, there's not enough people making decisions. And again, I think that's a problem when you put too much power, you know, in the hands of a few people. Some people who have a good track record, like, this is what's kind of confusing here. Bill Manning has a track record of success. He was the president of the team when they won in 2017. But to me, like, one big takeaway for me is just you need lots of people, you know, weighing in so you can ultimately come to the right decision. Like, that was a big takeaway for me, right?
I got to ask you one thing before we get you out of here. When something's exposed like this that's explosive, like when you watch Netflix or the movies, there's like a little handwritten note passed at a coffee shop or in a dark alley where the note says, you got to check into this, it's really greasy and you'll love it. Or did something like that happen, or was this such in plain sight you just started writing about it?
Oh, it was a single vape pen left on my doorstep. it was a single vape pen, and then I just saw a shady character across the road and, you know, just kind of said, you know what to do.
Okay.
Vaping in a trench coat in a parking lot downtown.
Yeah,
follow
literally.
The vape. Follow the vape, cloak. You'll find it.
All it was like, you can, first of all, anytime a team that is highly, highly paid starts losing, you have to say, what is going on here? Did I think that the answer would be, you know, vaping on a charter jet? No. And full credit, I have to mention full credit, like this was a joint byline piece with Tom Bogert and Paul Tenorio at The Athletic. This kind of heavy lift doesn't happen alone, but yeah, I guess all I'm saying is if you find a vape on your doorstep, start working.
Yeah, I love the one
for a rip, and then I'll check things out.
The one tidbit too that Bernardeschi is jealous that Insigne has Drake's jacket or something like that. He's got a Drake jacket deal or OVO deal. Like, imagine having that much money and you're worried that the other guy has some in with Drake. But that's kind of what they're dealing with. So we'll see. Check it out. It's up there on The Athletic. He is Josh Cloke all over the story. Great stuff, buddy. Thank you for doing this on short notice. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, boys. Take care.
You got it. Josh Cloke of The Athletic. Yeah, Drake somehow had to get involved, although he's not directly involved. But that's the kind of ego you're dealing with here, is the fact that these two international players from Italy, according to the report, they don't get along. They don't like each other. There's been dust-ups. And
if I called a guy in my office, if I was ever running any kind of operation, and questioned about him being jealous about a Drake jacket ordeal, it's a plane ticket, man. And get out.
Get lost.
I cannot do the money they're paying this guy. What are we talking about here? Is it millions and millions of dollars. It's between 10 and 20 or what?
Well, I think Insigne's deal is like 7.1, but he's got other deals on top of it.
It's like 7 plus, and you're complaining about a Drake jacket? Get a life.
Yeah.
And I would never want to deal with someone like that, ever.
Well, and that's it. Like, that's what you got. Like, and this is the issue that MLS has, is that you splash money, and I credit Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. They spend money on this team. They have the highest payroll in the league. Like, that's, and they've been doing it since Lewicki came in. They invested the money. You know, it's a bloody big deal. We all remember that. And they brought in big pieces, and they won, and they were a blast. And yet, if you bring players that are still in their prime from Europe, there's a chance they're gonna show up and say, this is Mickey Mouse compared to
what
I'm used to.
And they're gonna cause problems.
And they might. You know, not all of them, but they might just say, hey, you know, I'm gonna do my thing and this isn't the way it should be run, or, you know, that's not how we would run it back home or whatever. That's what you're possibly dealing with. All right, Scott Mitchell coming up in about 20 minutes as we transition from Toronto FC to the positive story of the Blue Jays leading into their weekend in Minnesota. Danny Jansen on the 10-day IL. How do they respond to that? How many games can Kirk play here moving forward in the next week and a half? We'll catch up with Scotty. Dear Hazy B in about 40 minutes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Mailin' in Friday is brought to you by Boston Pizza. Weekends are better with fish bowls and frosty pints on the BP patio. Grab your sunscreen and let's have a weekend. See you on the BP patio. All right, Scott Mitchell will join us in about 10 minutes. Dear Hazy B at 6:30. We'll play the Barkley audio to start next hour. All right? We'll play the Barkley audio last night. His interpretation of Sergei Bobrovsky.
That was awesome.
It's epic. It's just an all-time great mispronunciation. There's a lot of anxiety in the city of Toronto and I guess the suburb. Well, it's not a suburb, but Scarborough area. Have you guys seen this story about that winning ticket, $70 million ticket that's going to expire soon?
Dude, I keep looking to see, because is it a Lotto Max ticket?
I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself, I always go to that gas station right beside work, and I buy Lotto Max if I get gas before I go home.
Dude, that could be your ticket then. It's probably your trunk.
Let me paint a picture. It was in the truck that got stolen.
Oh, that would be sickening. Don't say that.
You guys, honestly, you think Jimmy, like, who's the guy that was murdered and never found in New
Jimmy
Jersey?
Hoffa.
Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah, you guys think Jimmy Hoffa was in my truck.
I do.
Like, everything.
I've seen your trunk. But, like, I know I didn't buy a ticket in Scarborough, but I keep second-guessing myself. And I don't play the lottery. So I know it's not mine, but I can't help thinking, like, you bought that, and it won a solo win, $70 million.
I know.
And it's going to get flushed because you just didn't check it? Like, what were you? Who is that? Did you lose it? You buckled?
Well,
you looked
they
at the
could
numbers
do, they could dig a little more if they wanted to. Don't tell me there's no surveillance or anything. Like,
yeah.
Just cut it out. If they really wanted to find the person, start checking out times, whatever, when the ticket
right.
was bought, where, what gas trail. Station.
There's a paper trail. They should do that. They should find the picture. It's like a wanted picture. Like, we want to find this person. We believe they came in, they bought it, it's their ticket. Where is this person?
Yeah. Start with the location of the gas station. Like, you could start there.
Right. Well, but at the same time, they're probably thinking, dude, it's $70 million. Well, we got to make your life easier. Come claim it. You know, how hard is it? You bought the ticket. Find it and bring it in. And once you do, here's 70 sheets. You know, $70 million just
crazy.
Sitting. Someone's got it, and they just need to claim it. Final hour coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050, soon to be up on TSN 2.
Introducing TSN Plus.
What a game changer.
Canada's new home for PGA Tour Live.
Are you kidding me?
Exclusive data-enhanced feeds, plus more goals, dunks, aces, and speed. Visit tsn.ca/TSN Plus to learn more.